station from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing a cake. What a way to make a day. Sharing K is on the way.
Hi, this is First Lady Brandy Moore of Celebration Christian Center, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
First Lady, you're so precious. Hello, everybody. Good morning, Nashville. Y'all waking up with a little bit of rain in the city. I just thought it was supposed to rain after 9. Well, oh well. Weathermen and women can only do so much. Because they can't control it, that's for sure. Anyway, you take the umbrellas today if you're headed out somewhere, because some rain is going to be on you today. But other than that, you know, we're above freezing. That's really what's up. That's what I'll be looking for in the Saturday night forecast. Please, Lord, you know. Saturday night is not right if it's iced up. It's just messed up because it's going to mess up a lot of y'all's evening plans. But, you know, early risers are like, ugh. Anyway, let me say hello to the beautiful people of Nashville, wherever you are listening. Also on Global Family at WFSKFM.org. It is a glorious Sunday morning, and we are happy to be in the house, of course, at this third weekend of Black History Month. Have you got your Black History on yet?
Yeah, I have.
Have you? Mm-hmm. You've been to some programs or something?
I haven't been, well, this month. You know, I haven't been to a Black History program.
You ever take your social calendar?
No, I'm trying to think. Did it merge in with MLK Day or... So, no, I haven't been.
No, that's January. We, you know.
Other than speaking at the Bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Was that last Sunday? Then, no, I haven't.
Well, I haven't either. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I feel like I live it every day. So, mm-hmm. It's like... I try to be a decent and good person and set some Black history every day.
Yeah. But the great-great-grandson of Frederick Douglass did come to Cathedral Praise last Sunday as well.
Oh, that was lovely.
I'm trying to think of his name.
Well, that's a Black history program.
Mm-hmm. And he lives right here in Nashville.
Okay, what's his name?
I have to look it up. Where's my... He lives right here in Nashville. I
want
to
see where
he works. In case, so he doesn't get bombarded by with people that he may not want. But
well, it's too late now. He's not said it.
Well, I mean, in terms of...
and if he didn't want to be bombarded, he wants to be bombarded. Come on, X.
Yeah.
If your relative was somebody famous...
He works at the VA. His name is Mr. Kevin Green.
Okay.
Kevin Green. He works at the VA here in Nashville. And he's the great-great-grandson of Frederick Douglass.
Well, bless Jesus.
Yeah.
A lot of people, because we don't know as much about our history as we could and can, a lot of folks are probably related to people and don't even know it. And I'm trying to find mine, y'all.
Whoever, that's what he said.
Whosoever, ever.
That's exactly what he said.
You know, I feel like, you know, because these people have to have, they don't have to, but... they have their generations keep going, and you know, so 2 or 3 generations later, you know, it could happen. But there are still some events and activities that are going on during the upcoming weeks for Black History Month. I got a few of those in my church announcements that I'll be getting into here shortly. And For all of you all that use Facebook and text and all that, don't send me your church announcements on Facebook. And please don't send them to me on my phone. Because I'm like, I'm not looking.
At 11 o'clock at night.
I'm like, oh, my God.
You think it's something important.
As soon as I go on, just to, you know, I'm cutting back 100%. And, I mean, as soon as I'm on there, 30 seconds, somebody zips me a church announcement. Or could you say something about this? I'm like, yo, I'm under the screen right now.
That makes me not want to do it. That makes me not
want to
do it.
Send them here.
Yeah, I'm
send
like, come
them
on.
To the station.
That's not professional.
I'm not going to do your PSA for my pajamas.
And then you have to turn around and figure out how to forward it to yourself.
You know, I'm just
so
like,
it's extra work.
Send it to the radio station.
Just email it.
Don't send it to me personally. I get gazillions, and the station's Facebook pages, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of people with all this stuff, just everything.
So that means we have to have the...
We have two email addresses for the public.
You know what I'm saying, but in the instant reply, we have to put that in there. So as soon as they do that, the instant reply says, please send your...
Right, forward it to there. Because it's like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot. And I just, every time I was like, 18 seconds? Say, okay, what's going to be? And who's going to be on the stage at the... I'm like, man. But anyway, so I just find that to be... I'm not saying we don't want it. Just don't send it to me on my, in my stuff like that. Because nine times out of ten, I'm going to forget about it. So if you want it to get here, and I see that in looking at one of my church announcements, the person that sent it to me, one of the people that sent me one, I gave her my email address, and she sent it here. Because I'm like, I am not going to remember this. And then you're going to see me and say, well, how come and why did you? And I'll be like, no, send it to the place where I have the microphone, right here. So make sure that you do that. And all of our email addresses and contacts and everything are on the radio station website. There's a page called Contacts, and you click on there. And it gives you everything that we have here, every mode and means of how to reach the place that broadcasts. So we'll be broadcasting live from the bed.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting live now. So, you know, just that's a personal FYI. Just remember, if you know people that, you know, do this kind of work, hit them at work and not... in the beauty shop or grocery store, whatever. Anyway, so we got a couple of things we'll be talking about this morning as our pastor's roundtable for the month of February. We're rolling on like crazy out here with 2019 coming through like quick with the quickness. It's almost March and close to being springtime.
March Madness is right.
Now, I wasn't even thinking about that. Why you go sports on me this early?
Yeah.
You went straight sports. I was mm-hmm. thinking about seasonal changes in Easter dresses. You thinking about sport. See how men and women's brains are different.
So, I have to give a shout out to Bellevue Middle's girls and boys basketball team.
Mm.
They advanced in their playoffs.
Did they?
Yes.
Go,
y'all.
Yes. Woo, woo.
Yeah.
Is this their first time in a while or what?
You know, my daughter plays for the Bellevue Middle girls.
I cannot believe she's big enough to do that.
So I don't.
She was a teeny weeny when
time.
I saw her last.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
So for her, this is the first time.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Man, these kids are growing fast. Holy smokeronies. Either that or I've been knowing you a long time.
Yeah.
Because I guess you see mine grow too, huh?
Yeah.
They got grandkids now.
Oh, and you know what? While I'm at it, I have to give a shout out to...
And you know, shout outs are $50.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to be 100.
These are worth it.
Okay.
But this goes to the staff and the teachers at Pearl Cone High School.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because...
That's our friends at
Pearl Cone. That's right down the street.
Okay.
And the reason why is because Not just because my son, Darius Willis, got a scholarship to go to Lindsey Webster, but there were several young men.
The Lindsey Webster, the college.
The college, yes, right. I'm sorry, the college.
Because yeah, there is a recording artist.
Oh, that's right. You know what, that's right.
You better say college at the end, because they'd be like,
yeah, I just realized that.
Yes, yeah. She's a number one.
That's right. So he got a football scholarship, but several of those young men from that school have gotten football scholarships due to their athletics and their academics.
Okay, bless Jesus.
And I wanted to say that because whenever something bad happens over there,
true,
it's always on the news.
Splashed.
And so,
everywhere.
But these young men.
Well, hallelujah.
Yes.
And the church is saying amen on that.
These young black men at are doing something
glory.
Positive.
So the parents, great job, mamas and daddies and grannies and aunties and stuff. Great job.
Yeah.
And to the educators,
that's right. The staff.
Because I know y'all going to bow to
all those people at
Because well, they've got to help
Coach Brunetti,
those young brains.
That's right.
Yes,
the
Lord.
Staff, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's good stuff, X.
Yeah, it is.
Can I do a shout out?
Yeah. And one of them, and I told you before, he has a scholarship to the University of Tennessee.
Does he?
And another one's going to Vanderbilt.
Well, amen.
So, yes.
That's
those,
beautiful.
Those are top-notch schools.
They
so
are.
Our kids are doing positive things. I heard that's
well,
what
and
we
my
see
granddaughter,
on the news media.
Now, this is not my shout-out yet, so this one don't cost me anything. My granddaughter graduated from UT, you know.
See?
And I'm saying it's a great school.
It is.
But she said there's some prejudiced people out there.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
So, you know, she got her four. She went in, out, and came out.
Yeah.
The one that was up here with the fire.
I remember that. Yes, right.
Yeah, she's
right.
But, I mean, you know, that's not my shout-out.
Yeah.
Okay. So the meter's not ticking on that yet. You just said UT, and I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
So he'll probably be back a lot because she said it's precious up here in Knoxville.
He'll be playing on Sundays in a few years.
Yeah, well, he'll be coming back.
I have no doubt in my mind.
He will be visiting Nashville for a transfusion of black love, okay?
Yep.
But my point is that I feel this pending number one song in the air for this particular artist that we have a relationship with.
Lindsey?
No.
Oh.
Pastor Ben Tankard. He is as close to the top of the charts as he has ever been in his 30-plus year career. And he is hovering at number one on the national smooth jazz charts for the first time in his life. And I am so excited for him and his new project featuring Marion Meadows and others.
Yeah.
He was number two a couple weeks in a row. He only missed being number one by three spins on the air.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm sitting here on my edge of my seat because this is a major thing for somebody who has committed and done so much
for so many
to never have a number one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I told Ben, I done decreed it and declared it, Nephew Ben, that you're going to be number one this week in Jesus' name because it's overdue for him. He did a remake of the Herb Alpert song from the late 70s, Rise, featuring Marion Meadows on sax, and those two together are just an incredible pair. So I'm hoping and hoping and hoping because he deserves being in that spot. And we've been emailing each other back and forth, you know, and holding our breath and the excitement and all that stuff. So I'm feeling it in the atmosphere. And speaking of that, you know, Ben is our headliner this year for the Fisk Food and Music Festival. And if the scheduling is not a conflict, we're going to try to squeeze Marion Meadows on the stage for a minute if he's available to do the hit song so the guys can do the hit song together. We're working on that now. So you all quit
all
acting
right.
like you don't know Fisk has a festival. you know how y'all act in Nashville. I didn't know it. Well, we tell y'all the time. This is the fourth one. And Ben Tankard is our headliner. We're very excited to have him be with us. And by the time, he'll be a number one recording artist.
In
Middle Tennessee's own, Jack. Okay, boom. And that's so exciting. And his TV show is coming back, Thicker Than Water. So, you know, he's been a good and faithful servant. And he's been a friend for years, and I'm glad to see this happen for him at this juncture in his life. Now, let me knock out my church announcements right quick. Now this is for next Saturday. The women's ministry is hosting. Actually, there's two events on the 23rd at that same church. 8th Street Missionary Baptist Church. Has that pastor ever been here?
No, I've never heard of 8th
okay.
Street.
Well,
let me write that down.
Yeah, do that. 8th Street Missionary Baptist Church is having two fellowship events that they want the public to know about. Now, the church is not on 8th X. It's at 6th Avenue North. So that's not far. 1223 6th Avenue North. And at 9 o'clock next Saturday morning, the Men of Valor will hold a prayer breakfast beginning at 9. And they would hope that the public would attend. And then the women's ministry is holding its first fellowship of 2019 called Real Time on Saturday the 23rd. Starting at 1, and they're going to have lunch there as well. So there's one for the women and one for the men, and go to both and spend some time with the wonderful people at the 8th Street Missionary Baptist Church. There's going to be food and fellowship, and you know, you put those two together and you got a great combination. You can RSVP or you can call them at 615-335-4876, 615-335-4876. And let's take the time out because I got a couple more in April. I don't want you guys to get mixed up. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
The National Guard for me was a perfect fit. I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I didn't find that in the normal day-to-day life. I didn't find that working behind a desk. I realized being hands-on and being a soldier was something that would keep me active, keep me outside, keep me in that team environment that I craved and that I needed so much. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake. I wanted to be in Boise, Idaho. I wanted to be home. The National Guard gave me the opportunity to stay right where I was, serve my country and my community, and it was the best of both worlds. I grew up flying bush planes in Alaska with my dad. I was fortunate enough to get my pilot's license. I wanted to be in helicopters. I wanted to be a crew chief. The Army National Guard gave me a chance to fly helicopters now instead of fixed-wing aircraft.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Tennessee Army National Guard. Aired by the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you career with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including 10 Care and Cover Kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I'm going to do just the one announcement for next week, and then I'll save April's for next week. This is next Saturday. This one came from Greater Mount Zion Church. They're having on 37 Trimble Street, they're having a gospel night of love, the phases of love, and admission is free. And they want you to be there about 5:30 p.m. And their pastor is Harold W. Finch II. And it's Greater Mount Zion Church presents Gospel Night of Love, the Phases of Love. And that's next Saturday at 5:30. Has he been here yet? X in the Pastor's Roundtable.
What's his name?
Pastor Harold W. Finch II. I think I know him.
No.
Okay.
So we've got to get him on.
Yeah, that's Greater Mount Zion.
Greater Mount Zion.
Yeah, at 37 Trimble Street.
Okay.
Well, you done picked up two names today from my church announcements.
Well, yeah, they should get them on in.
I know. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we that's got right. Showful kind of
doing. That's right.
So that's how it is that's sometimes. Right. Yeah. Anyway, let me knock out a few things out here before we get the Pastor's Roundtable going for this month. Out of Nashville, let's start with something basic here. New state data shows that nearly half of Tennessee students enrolled in higher education during 2016-2017 school year needed some sort of remedial classes during their first year of college. The Tennessee Higher Education Commission released the numbers this week, which have since sparked shock and dismay from lawmakers who have taken pride in touting the state's gains in education over the past few years. According to the report, 46% of higher education enrollees needed math remediation, while 30% of enrollees needed reading remediation during their first year of college. Senator John Lundberg, a Republican from Bristol, described the numbers as a wake-up call. Students need to take remedial classes if they score 18 or below on the ACT subtest. So, parents, your work is not quite done yet. And out of Nashville today, a prominent leader in the Southern Baptist Convention says he was wrong to support a Kentucky pastor accused of covering up sex abuse. Say what? Somebody actually said they were wrong? Praise okay. The Lord. And especially somebody from the community of faith. Hallelujah. The Reverend Albert Moeller first addressed the issue Thursday in an interview with the Houston Chronicle. Earlier this week, that paper and the San Antonio Express News published an investigation detailing hundreds of sex abuse cases in Southern Baptist churches. It took that much for him to say he was wrong?
Guess so.
My Lord. In a public statement released on Friday, Mueller apologized and asked for forgiveness for his support of C.J. Mahaney, founder of the Sovereign Grace Ministries Network of Churches. They are not affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, but Mueller and other prominent Southern Baptists worked closely with Mahaney in the past. Sovereign Grace leaders have long denied accusations of a cover-up. Mahaney's Sovereign Grace Church of Louisville said it would release a statement, but it was not available as of Friday. Now, and also in the headlines is the Catholic Church scandal.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's a lot of sex in church call going on, y'all.
You know, I always wondered.
a lot.
I always wondered about that because, you know, I went to Catholic school from second grade to ninth grade.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things in the back of my mind when I heard about the priests and the young boys, the molestation. But then I always wondered about the nuns and said, you know, I just wonder. So now.
Well, this is not about nuns, okay?
Yeah.
This is about the priests.
Yeah. And the sex trafficking and the abuse of the nuns.
Well, it's just, you know, this is a real mess.
This is awful.
And I mean, you know, across the board, we sinners, all of us, y'all. We're all falling short.
Yeah.
Everybody's falling short.
Yeah.
And that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Religions, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But from Vatican City, Pope Francis is asking for prayers for this week's sex abuse summit at the Vatican, calling abuse an urgent challenge of our time. He has summoned bishops to Rome to help him chart a way forward after decades of abuse by priests and prelates and the systematic cover-ups that by their own superiors. It's those cover-ups, y'all. The scandal, you know, it's like you're going to cover up, and then you got to cover up for the cover-up, and then you got to cover up for the cover-up for the cover-up. It's a lot of covering up going on. The scandals have eroded Catholics' trust in the Vatican and in church leaders like bishops. Francis told pilgrims and other visitors today in St. Peter's Square that beginning Thursday, the heads of episcopal conferences around the world will discuss protection of minors in the church. He said, I asked prayers for the appointment, which I wanted as an act of strong pastoral responsibility in the face of an urgent challenge of our time. Look at this. I'm getting a double blessing this morning. I mean, I was not expecting to see this wonderful person supporting this other wonderful person. So I love her. She like, shut up, Cherokee. I do love her though. And I'm gonna get my hug during the break. That's an early morning surprise. Well, bless Jesus. Now, who might this be? Is this the one I've been hearing so much about from his family members? And you know, I know him. Your uncle and your mother. And they have spoken so highly of you. And that's Reverend James McCarroll. We're so happy to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And I was saying earlier, I don't think you've ever been over before, have you?
I have not. It's the first
okay.
time.
Okay. I thought so. Well, I'll have to ask your mother when I see her why she has kept you from us. She gonna get me real good. You know that, right? Because, you know, you haven't been here for the fundraisers and the fun that we have, and she and your uncle enjoy themselves very much here.
Oh, I'm sure.
They do. They totally do. You know them well, don't you?
Yes,
anyway, we're going to start our Pastor's Roundtable in a few minutes, and Pastor Napoleon Harris emailed you, and he got sick last
He's
night.
He's under the weather.
Yeah,
yes,
very much so.
Yes.
And he did not want to miss his time in the spotlight. So we're going to get him back on. He says he's sick as a dog, and I know how that feels because I've been there before.
When they say you're sick as a dog.
Right, that's down.
Yeah,
you're down, down,
yeah,
down.
Yeah.
So, you know, we ask the Lord to be with you, Pastor Harris.
But, you know, this weather.
You get well soon.
This weather can, this is some serious, it can mess you up.
It can mess you up.
It can mess you up quick.
And that's why you can't go rush out the door and not be prepared. Because, you know, I've been seeing people in shorts and, you know, I'm sitting up here shivering, look, you know, looking like it's Alaska and y'all out here like running around like it's springtime. I'm like, what's up with this? Am I overdressed or did you not get the memo?
Those will be the people in the emergency room.
Yeah.
You know, blocking everybody else who really have issues because they're coughing and sneezing
on everybody. You know, I'm like, I'm bundled up to my neck. This happened the other day and the security guard in the store I walked in because I had my coat fastened. I'm bundled up, and everybody else coming in short sleeves and shorts. And he started following me. I said, I bet this man think I got a gun in my coat because it was cold. Okay, the wind was blowing. They were the ones you should have been following because they didn't have their coats on. Because I was like, am I overdressed when I started walking in the store? I looked at the security guard and said, there is no gun in this coat. It's just cold. Because, you know, in the evening sometime, that temperature, the sun goes down and that temp drops. And I'm still trying to protect myself from getting whatever people have been getting. You know, I don't want to be an old fool. You know, because sometimes you can be an old fool now. Best out there like you're a teenager, but not your girl. I learned my lesson on that one. But anyway, Reverend McCarroll, it is a privilege to have you here as the pastor of First Baptist Church in Murfreesboro.
Yes.
How long have you headed the church there?
I've been there just over 12 years.
12?
Yes, ma'am.
That is a blessing for that community.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us where it's located, please.
We're located off of Middle Tennessee Boulevard, on East Castle Street.
Okay.
So
that's in the black neighborhood, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is it still the black neighborhood or has it been gentrified?
For the most part, it's still
the same.
The same.
Give me some history on the church.
So the church began in 1853.
Uh-huh.
It was started by a gentleman that actually, his name was Nelson Mary. He was affiliated with First Baptist Capitol Hill here in the city of Nashville.
I was going to say that name sounded familiar.
Yes. And so he came down and started a small community called Bethel. And out of that community, over time, the church took form, took shape.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally called the First Colored Baptist Church.
Okay.
And then later, they dropped the colored and just kept it at First Baptist Church. We were a church plant, actually.
Really?
Of the First Baptist Church on the square in Murfreesboro.
So would your church be one of the oldest in the city then?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And it was founded when?
1853.
Oh, my.
Yes,
that is... It says 165
years.
Okay. So that would make, does that make your church older than, what's the one where Peggy Wilson goes right down here that, you know, they have me at, across from, the one by Burger King and all that down here in Charlotte.
Oh.
Capers.
Capers,
Capes,
yeah.
Memorial.
So y'all are older than Capers?
Maybe. Yes,
really? Wow. Because I thought they were the oldest. Y'all been around. Y'all old.
Yeah. There are a lot of people. That's one, for real. There are a lot of
1853.
There are a lot of historic churches
Now, let me ask you this, Reverend McCarroll. Since that's the case.
Yes, ma'am.
How much history, 1800s and early that century history, does your church have? From, you know, that, because of slavery time, you know, down in Murfreesboro.
Yes. So one of the challenges with our historical documents is in the 1920s, the church boiler caught fire. And so it burnt the church to the ground.
Oh, no.
And burnt most of the records of those preceding dates at the same time. So a lot of that we lost. We have pictures. That's about all that we have.
Okay.
Pictures. Yes, ma'am.
So the early stories and the things, being that was the only location for the history, everything is gone.
Well, everything that didn't survive through oral tradition or oral dialogue was gone.
Would your city have had records like that, Murfreesboro City?
Yeah, so one of the saving graces is that I told you we came out of the First Baptist Church on the square.
Sure.
So they actually have the records of when they founded our church.
Okay.
And so that's probably the most accurate information that we had. And then we actually, the first church we purchased, we actually purchased from them.
Okay.
So that's how we have some of the pictures and some of that information retained.
Were you able to extract from that the chronological order of the ministry during that time?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Were any surprises on there for you since you're a pastor?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm the 38th pastor.
Okay, wow.
In the history of the church to do comparative analysis. New Hope, my home church here in Nashville.
Okay, Reverend Turner.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
only
yeah,
have five
amen.
Pastors.
Yeah.
So it's
well, you were rooted and grounded well.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But yeah, so So the average span of a pastorate was no more than 5 years until my predecessor stayed 43 years.
Wow.
So he stabilized the pastoral office.
I would say 12. And I see you in the future, they'll be 24, and then look up, and you'll be 30 years in. I'll be like, look at you. That's beautiful. And the church's structure is it similar to, I know Murfreesboro is smaller than Nashville, but is it similar to how it is, the dynamic here in Nashville, the same as it is in Murfreesboro?
Say more.
Well, I mean, like, for example, you know, there's the Mega. There's the, you know, the ministries here range from storefronts up to Megadome.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that the same for Murfreesboro?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So you have everything from the living room church to the churches that have over 16,000 members
here
in Murfreesboro.
So 68 would be the largest. That's pretty substantial.
Yes, ma'am.
That is huge. That's bigger than Nashville. Well, I guess Murfreesboro is not the bedroom community anymore.
No, ma'am.
You have seen, are you a resident?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so in your city, you've seen a significant amount of growth there.
Yes.
Okay, how has it impacted your area?
There are several impacts. Murfreesboro is a city of four communities.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the student community that comes with MTSU and the professors, administrative staff.
Mm-hmm.
You have the original homegrown Murfreesboro residents, which have been born, raised, still there. You have the transient population, which are people like myself that have come in later times, just job brought them there, whatever the case may be. And then you have this kind of long-term transient population, which has been in Murfreesboro 30-plus years.
Okay.
So what happens is all of these, the older people are used to a certain type of Murfreesboro.
Absolutely.
And so when we begin to see the growth come, we've seen one of the top, the fastest growing city next to Nashville in the state of Tennessee will soon surpass Chattanooga for population.
Really?
But one of the things that came with that is a shaking of culture. Now, it remained a relational community, but we began to see so much growth. So every week, something new is being opened.
Okay.
We've opened over 150 businesses in the last year. So that changes the dynamic, so it doesn't feel like a bedroom community. And some of the original people there, the natives, feel lost in their own city.
I'm certain.
So similar to what you're seeing in Nashville, where you're not displaced per se, but the feel of it's kind of gone.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes,
most
ma'am.
Definitely. Now, how has that impacted worship there?
Oh, man. So the blessing of it is it gives gives more license and more opportunity for creativity.
Really?
And so we've seen the worship atmosphere shift, whereas when I started, probably 70% of our congregation were Murfreesboro natives or long-term Murfreesboro residents. Now that number's probably down about 30% because it grows, the church grows.
Sure.
And worship itself is just amazing.
So you're seeing more young people there or not?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And they are coming in seeking relationship with God or just the comfort of being around others, or what is it?
It's all of the above. It's coming to experience the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also coming to a place where they don't have to feel like they're in a world in a foreign city alone.
Yeah.
So they get a chance to meet.
I mean, it's college students too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
That's beautiful. That sounds very intriguing as far as the, because I saw the expression on your face about the excitement there.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what you want to see a pastor look like when you start talking about the experience of being in it. You know, you want to see some excitement instead of the, like, Lord, help me, Jesus. Y'all know how it is sometimes. Because them Christians can wear your nerves out. So, amen. And I got my hand up, too, now. I know I wore a few pastors' nerves out. So they can raise their hand right now. Anyway, this is our Pastor's Roundtable for the month of February. One of our pastors is out sick, and he is unable to be with us in the studio, but we're going to get him back because I understand he's a dynamic speaker. That's what his people that I know at the church said.
Yes.
So I'm going to go by what they said.
You're right.
And do you know him?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, is he?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay, cool. So I have to have him come back and be with us because the Pastor's Roundtable, this is where we have discussions and on various subject matters and topics, but I am happy to have in the studio today the other half of the roundtable, that is Reverend James McCarroll.
of First Baptist Church in Murfreesboro. Let's take this time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including TennCare and Cover Kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com.
If you've got a yard, you may plan on digging in it. Like to build an addition, put in a pool, or bury your pirate booty. But you should know that throughout the country, there may be pipelines buried underground. And if you hit one, you've got trouble.
Sorry.
So before you dig, call 811 to have any buried pipelines located and marked at no charge.
Call your local natural gas utility or visit pipesafety.org. Brought to you by the Tennessee Gas Association.
Want to keep your hard-earned money? Don't pay to have your taxes prepared when you can get it for free at a United Way free tax prep site or prepare them yourself at UnitedWayFileFree.com. You qualify if you or your household earn less than $60,000 in 2018. To find a location near you, don't wait. Visit UnitedWayFileFree.com today. Powered by United Way of Metropolitan Nashville.
Here's a community reminder from listener-supported Jazzy88.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust. My local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic. Fisk University. It's Pastor's Roundtable for the month of February, Black History Month, and it's just good to have a pastor whose church is from 1853. That's history. I got Black History Month in the studio with me today. What is your church, Reverend McCarroll, doing in Murfreesboro for? Is there anything special that you all have planned for the month?
Yes, as a matter of fact, today we'll be doing, it's our Heritage Sunday today. So not only will we be wearing, you know, kind of the traditional African apparel, but we'll also be doing several presentations for my youth, just celebrating Black history and then current Black history.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, what's your current going to be on?
So we pick members in our congregation. We call them FBC heroes, people that were the first in their field, or people that have just done something amazing for their community to make a significant impact for the cause of African Americans.
Oh, that's lovely. So get your flowers while you can smell them.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all it should be sometime, y'all. Don't talk about me when I'm in the grave. Talk about me good now, please. Anyway, now, Reverend McCarroll, I know I had asked you a few minutes ago about the experience for young ones and what they're feeling for coming in. And the community is really grappling with and dealing with a rise in violence, in particular with the young ones stealing cars and shooting and robbing people, that these crimes are I never would have thought they would be children's crimes, but they have become. When you encounter young ones like that, do you do outreach in ministry to for the troubled youth or prison ministry or something of that nature?
Yes, ma'am. We do it at several different levels. One, we do have a prison ministry that's there. We've seen in the last year close to about 24 individuals give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're there every week. We partner with one of the best prison ministries in the state of Tennessee. A good friend of mine named John Spurgeon, who does a phenomenal job, not just letting it be a place of incarceration, but a place of transformation. Also, we try to target millennials. One of the great challenges we have now is systemic, for lack of a better term, systemic infection. So what the attempt seems to be that there's a target on our African-American men and our African-American youth. And so when you see it, it's not something that came overnight. It's something that apparently has been well thought out and well thought through. So as the church, we realize that if we're going to really impact that group, it's going to require us really dealing with the root issues and starting there.
What would you say are some of the roots?
Several things. One, you could start with the rise of single-parent homes and absent parents.
But haven't there always been single-parent homes?
Yes, ma'am. But with the rise of costs, you're seeing a rise in parents that can't afford to really just stay home and be with their kids. They've got to go work. But then there's also within that, and I was raised in a single parent home. My mother's here this morning, as you mentioned. But when you take a single parent home that may not have certain educational levels or exposure levels, then it creates a habit of habitual or generational toxicity, for lack of a better term.
So if the mother is not stable herself, she's not going to be able to implant stability in her kid, because she is the biggest example for her child.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so what we're seeing now in unprecedented proportions is, and when you talk, here's when you talk to the school districts, is parents that aren't giving the support once the kid leaves the school. And so there's a detachment, especially with the rise of digital devices. Kids are beginning to be raised by laptops or by iPads by cell phones.
They are.
And so there's a social divide in the home. And that social divide in the home is now, the gap is being filled by negative social inlets, like gangs and things like that, which give value in a space where a kid wrestles with self-worth.
Yeah. Well, let me, because as we, when I have the discussions, and I think in retrospect, there's some characteristics, and you can look biblically from the Old Testament to the present, that have always been a part of mankind and human behavior. And I think generationally there's always been a distraction.
Yes.
Every generation has its own. Our generation had its own distractions. Today's is dealing with machines and gadgets. So is it the machine and the gadget, or is it just the behavior that has manifest generation to generation to generation? Because there was distraction back in the Old Testament time from to the present. There's always been something to keep people from being focused. That must be tough in your role to keep folks focused at all times.
Yes, ma'am. It's challenging. I think according to the book, The Millennials,
mm-hmm.
one of the greater challenges now is, and I hate to say it this way, but the paradigm of the African-American church mm-hmm. by in mass or in large has not shifted since probably the 1930s to 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the average congregation, they reflect
mm-hmm.
The average age of about 60 to 65.
Mm-hmm.
And so you ask, well, where are the young people?
Right.
What's going on?
Right.
And so what's happened is most of the paradigms never shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And so the audience that they originally intended to engage,
right.
they're engaging.
Mm-hmm.
But that model never shifted to be able to engage a younger population in a different technological age and in a different age of access.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't attract. In many cases.
Well, whose job is it to shift the paradigm?
So, you're so mean. But in actuality,
but these are serious.
Yeah.
I mean, but the facts are is yeah. that the ball is in somebody's court.
Honestly, it falls on. I'll say, as the pastors, we're responsible to some degree
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we open the door or open the window
mm-hmm.
to innovation and creativity
right.
and thinking out of the box
right.
and pushing the people that usually bend toward complacency and
mm-hmm.
consistency
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, if we do this, we're going to die. So we have to consider ways to actually reach without compromising or watering down the message,
yeah.
without compromising or watering down the core principles of the gospel or the Christian faith. How do we reach them? How do we adjust our messages?
Well, and let me say when you all do, because I, you know, I'm from the AME old school. I don't have a church home right now, but I did all my life. If you change one thing in there, you move a flower from the left side to the right side, a hymnal from this side to that, it's going to be hell to pay in there. Because the pastor's like, no, you're not going to do this. You know, I've seen people fall out and fight behind that
and
stuff
that,
in church.
And that's what I'm saying.
Traditions.
Mm-hmm. So there has to be a mutual respect between the pulpit and the pew as it pertains to innovation and moving forward. And we have to keep the greater need
yeah.
in the fore. At the
so fore. That would mean that the congregation
yes.
needs to yield to the authority. Or, I don't like the pastor, so therefore, I mean, you see how I'm shaking my head. I don't like the pastor. I mean, you know, that's real. It's real, because I've seen it and been like, what? I mean, I don't like him, so therefore, I'm not going to. And then the chaos erupts, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
I came from a church split,
mm-hmm.
so mm-hmm. I'm speaking the truth. And
yes,
everybody that's been in the split knows. It's... You know, it's a lot of chaos and confusion, and it keeps the worship experience and on a rocky road.
Well, I think that chaos and confusion is not necessarily a bad thing. It's par for the course in any team building and mm-hmm. any team development. As team develops and teams develop in four stages, of course, you know, forming, storming, norming, then performing.
Right.
I think it's how we handle the storm. As pastors, we can't be egocentric.
Yes.
And as members,
well, that's important.
And as members, we can't be so fixed that nothing can change. It takes a lot of push pull. It takes a lot of collaboration. It takes a lot of hearing on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes some guts.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the fear is not that we'll do something new, but that we'll do something new and I won't recognize God anymore because
right.
this is how I met him.
Yeah.
But to be able to pilot things and to be able to make spaces where you get a chance to try it.
Yeah.
And what most people don't realize is that it takes at least 18 months
wow.
for a habit or a culture to shift.
18 months?
Yes, ma'am. And so most people quit because 6 months in, they don't see the results.
Right. And they're ready to overthrow the pastor.
Absolutely.
And y'all know I'm telling the truth.
Absolutely.
Now, this ain't no church lottery. That's real.
Yes. And you have to have the conversations. It's,
yeah.
it's more than a dictatorship. We're not called to be dictators. We're called to be pastors.
Yeah.
And as pastors, we're called to be considerate and thoughtful of the sheep.
That's got to be a terrific challenge for y'all.
Well, not really.
Because we can be stiff-necked, hard-headed.
But you know, it's all in the heart of the pastor.
Okay.
So if the heart of the pastor is to get his way, then most times it is a fight because it's ego fighting ego.
Uh-huh.
If the heart of the pastor is to say, Lord, I really want to make sure that your heart is being brought forth,
uh-huh.
then the people that have his heart already know what's going on before he ever announces it.
Okay.
And so it becomes a collaborative move. And again, there are going to be people that especially those that are 60 and above, no offense, mama, their lives are more in a space of security. So sure. They're trying to create some consistency so they know what they're going to make, what they're
going to Well, they got the attachments to their mama went there and their aunties Absolutely. And all that, and they, you know, that's emotional stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I get that part.
Yes, ma'am.
And, but at the same time, the challenge is the need for growth.
Yes,
because no one's a dinosaur, and us old folk are not going to live forever. So how do you get the kids and grandkids, you know, to... That's your challenge.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. He like Miss Kay. This is how I roll. And, I mean, I have to ask these things and discuss this because, you know, that's what I do. And, you know, sometimes... You know, a lot of people tell me they enjoy the roundtables because, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to do, you know, the upper room all the time. And the stuff is real. Y'all know it's real up there and all this chaos and confusion going on in these churches and folks cussing and fuss. Y'all know it's real. They had too many splits in Nashville during the time period. I remember that. A whole bunch of churches split from each other. And pastors founded their own because they couldn't deal with it. And people, I mean, it was a mess.
Yeah, church divorce.
Okay, right.
You know, Pastor McCarroll
said...
Yeah. I've got one coming. The next one's something like that.
Pastor McCarroll said something that was very crucial, and that is seeking the Lord first and the Lord placing it in the hearts of the members, because if you're doing the work of the Lord, then people who understand. And it also sounds to me like
you're assuming that that's the agenda. Supposed to be the agenda.
That's true.
Folks get in there and get it all twisted.
That's
you know?
True. But he's a great teacher as well.
Oh, he is.
So when he says 18 months, I'm pretty sure that they had their meetings and they have to be taught.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
But let me say this as well. When you talk about shifting culture, the hardest thing to do is shift the culture based on one man's view.
Right.
Because if the people can't sense the bigger why of the shift and understand it for themselves, it will always be a fight.
Okay.
And most times this happens because we'll go somewhere as a pastor, we'll see what another church does, and then we'll try to immediately transplant it without considering the cultural context into which we put it. So our cultural shift came from a meeting we called New Wine Skins, and we let people that had visited, that were now in leadership, talk about their first time.
Mm.
And we began to hear that we were thinking we were welcoming, and they were saying, no, we really didn't feel welcome.
Really?
And so it became a culture
shock. So you did like a feedback session?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And so out of that space, we sat with all of our leaders and said, okay, how do we sense God sending us? And we stopped. We took our shoes off. We sat in the room in silence until the Lord spoke. Mm. And as he spoke, we let everyone speak, and they all spoke in the exact same direction. And they said, we need hospitality. We need discipleship. We need worship, and we want to keep doing impact.
Amen.
And we started there, and that set the why.
Mm.
And then over time, we were able, so immediately we reset the model. We reset the mantra. And after that, we began to say, okay, how does this look in a 10-year window?
Mm.
And in 2-year increments, 18 months, 2-year increments, we started to build it. So every 18 months, every 24 months, we shift to the next phase of the vision.
Mm-hmm.
So a vision phase, in my opinion, should never be less than 18 months.
Okay.
And what most churches do, they do them in 12-month increments.
Right.
And
too fast.
Yeah, so when it happens,
so when they
get ready to get to the best part of shifting, then they change the vision again.
Oh, wow.
And so you have to be able to sit there.
Systematically.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Very systematically.
So it also sounds a little touch like a circumcision of the heart process. Is taking place internally in those people.
Yes, you have to keep it in place. It's kind of like marriage. You have to, the Bible talks about being joined together. That word means to be cemented.
Yes.
Cement takes time to dry.
Oh, it does.
And so same thing with cultural cement. When you get ready to ship, it takes time to dry.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you can do is try to change the process or infect the process while it's drying.
Right.
And so people that we saw that may not have bought into it or understood it on the front end now get it well and are some of the greatest.
Well, that feedback session was so valuable.
Yes, ma'am.
Because, you know, things are not as they appear to be, y'all. That's real. You think you smiling and happy and really you're growling.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing that, you know, and then receiving it.
Absolutely.
That's the other side. That's deep. I like that.
As a pastor, God gives the assignment, but the sheep set the agenda.
Amen. Come on, sheep. Y'all, let's get it together now. We're just getting started on the Pastor's Roundtable for the month of February. We're happy to have in the studio Reverend James McCarro of First Baptist Church, the fire in Murfreesboro, y'all. So we're hoping you'll take a quick time out with us, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.